Rosh Yisrael of Orblowski, other Rabbanim. I have to tell you that tonight, I learned with the Shanabek guys at 6:10. And usually the Beis Medrash has room for our shir. And tonight, there wasn't space. There wasn't space. At 6:10, there wasn't space for the shir. I thought maybe I would walk around with some like silver carton and silver foil and give it to the guys and then they would leave. But Rabbi Blavsky, what's underneath the silver foil? Marijuana? What's... Rabosai, I want to talk about this the amazing lesson from the fact that Bli Ayin Hara, the Beis Medrash, is full. The Gemara in Shabbos, introducing the sugya of Chanukah, says, Tan Rabbanan, the mitzvah of Chanukah is ner ish ubeiso, v'amahadrin ner lekol echad v'echad, v'amahadrin min amahadrin. Question number one, we're not going to discuss the sugya of Hidr, I discussed with the Shanabet boys. In Machshava, I challenge you to find another place in Shas where the Gemara immediately begins speaking about Hidr mitzvah. Why is it when it comes to Neros Chanukah, immediately the Gemara talks about Vamahadrin, Vamahadrin, Min Amahadrin. Ashkenazim make a bracha on the Hidr mitzvah. I challenge you to find me a place in Halacha where there's a bracha on a Hidr mitzvah. Once the house has one candle, you Yotze your Chiyuv. Yet each one of the Bnei Abayis make a bracha on the Hidr mitzvah. Not only that, the rule of Hidr mitzvah says, Hidr mitzvah ad shlish, that you're supposed to spend only a third up to the mitzvah. For example, a rough example, if a kosher esrog would cost $30, so then there's no mitzvah to spend more than $40 for the esrog, for Hidr mitzvah. Yet if you have 10 people in the house on the eighth night, as the Rambam describes, is 80 times the actual mitzvah. One candle is the mitzvah. So why is it when it comes to Neros Chanukah, Hidr is so central? And finally, the Beis Halevi points out, the whole miracle of Chanukah really shouldn't have happened at all. The Beis Halevi says, we had one small jug of oil, and we could have had very thin wicks. And those thin wicks could have lasted 8 days. Chidush Arim points out that according to Halachos of Tumah V'Tahara, we should have said Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, and we should have used the oil that was Tameh. Comes along the Beis Halevi. And the Beis Halevi says, Chanukah, its whole essence, the whole miracle, everything that these days are about, and the Beis Medrash being full, is all about the idea that Klal Yisrael can't compromise. And when we don't compromise, that's when the miracles happen. The Bach describes that the Yevanim were allowed to come into the Beis HaMikdash because we had lost our sense of Mahadrin Achar HaMitzvos, our joy to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our relationship with Him beautiful. That became weak. In place of that was Greek materialism. And therefore, the Chashmonaim understood, says the Beis Halevi, that even though there are times in Halacha that we're supposed to compromise, now the month of Kislev is all about when we don't make those compromises. Chanukah is all about not just simply doing the mitzvah, but Chanukah is about being mahader achar mitzvos, running after mitzvos. Not relying on simply a way out, a compromise. And here's the yesod. Chanukah teaches us that when we compromise, nisim don't happen. Rav Rabowski Shlita and all the rabbeim in the yeshiva had a vision. Nowadays it's so common for boys who are coming to Israel to say, you know what? It's a different generation. There's no way that guys could learn Tosfos the way they used to learn. There's no way. Let's give them an assorted curriculum. A period here, 5 hours, 6 hours of learning straight. It's a different generation. And no, Kislev shows that no, if you don't compromise, then the Talmidim could step up. Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal, when he registered the Yeshiva of Lakewood, I tell the Talmidim all the time, I'm Zoche here to be speaking in Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, Yeshiva University. There are two fantastic yeshivas in America, two colossal yeshivas, two titans that have been different for the last 80 years. One of them is Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, whose giant was Rabbi Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, and the other was Beis Medrash Gavoa, whose giant was Rav Aaron Kotler, Zecher Tzadikim Levracha. And I say that there are things in Lakewood they could learn from YU, but I'm not talking in Lakewood. I'm talking in YU. And there are things in YU that we could learn from Lakewood. And Rav Aaron Kotler, when he was miyaseh the yeshiva, when he founded the yeshiva and got its approval as a rabbinical college, he went with his director, Rav Aaron barely spoke any English, to register it. And there was a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant bureaucrat that's sitting behind the desk. And he says, could you tell me how this is going to be a rabbinical college? What's the curriculum? So the director, Rav Aaron's right-hand man, who spoke English, said to him, well, we're training rabbis to become teachers and educators. And Rav Aaron grabbed him by the sleeve. And Rav Aaron says, Was Jokster, which means in Yiddish, what are you saying? So he told it to him in Yiddish. And Rav Aaron said, Nein, Jogem Teira Lishma. Tell this wasp Teira Lishma. So poor guy, he's stuck in between this wasp and Rav Aaron Kotler. Rav Aaron Kotler is telling him to give a shir and nefesh ha-chaim and Torah l'shma. So Rav Aaron says, the dean wants me to emphasize that our school, in order to create sincere rabbis and educators, they have to appreciate the depth of the material that they're learning. Rav Aaron grabs him again, Vozhokshtem! And he says it to him in Yiddish, saying, Nein, zogem Torah l'shma! And this went back and forth 3 or 4 times. And Rav Aaron wouldn't let go. Beis Medrash Gevoya, and so much of Torah today in America is because Rabbi Aaron insisted Torah Lishma. And Rabbi Reichman Shlita points out that there were 3 giants in America who didn't compromise. And they were Rabbi Aaron and Torah Lishma, and it's Rav Soloveitchik who understood that he could turn college boys into Lamdanim, and how many of them are today giants of Torah, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zichrono Livracha, emphasis on Zichrono Livracha, Zichusa Yogein Aleinu, the Lubavitcher Rebbe emphasized that he wasn't going to compromise the godless of Chassidus. And each one of them changed America. And you don't understand what the war was in the 40s and the 50s. There were conservative rabbis that were writing lengthy tshuvas, in which they explained that Judaism is falling apart. Rav Soloveitchik described when he came to America, he was convinced that the conservatives would dominate America for 100 years. Rav Aaron didn't think that way, but Rav Soloveitchik was convinced that the conservatives would dominate America, and they wrote tshuvas from the JTS justifying taking a cab to shul, a cab that you ordered beforehand. It was al pi halacha. But the Gedolei Torah said, no, we're not going to compromise. They said, you're crazy. People can't afford houses within walking distance. They're not going to be going to shul on Shabbos. And Gedolei Torah said, no. And Rav Soloveitchik said, you can't hear shofar in a conservative shul. You won't go to shul on Rosh Hashanah. But you know what's going to happen? My students are going to spend 3 or 4 times the amount so they could buy a house that's walking distance to the shul. And that's where your parents live. 5 miles away, the houses are half the price. But Rav Soloveitchik said, we're not going to compromise, and we didn't compromise, and that's how Torah flourishes. And that's what Kislev is all about. Kislev is all about that we're not going to compromise. The world says it's impossible, and the Nisim happen because we say that it can happen. And this applies in so many areas of life. My son learns in a poor Israeli yeshiva, and they called the parents in. Rabbi Blavatsky also has a son in that yeshiva. Rabbi Yeshua Eichenstein called the parents last night and he said he's starting a collection for the yeshiva. And he said from the Sanzer Rebbe, he said there are three kupot. There were three boxes that the Sanzer Rebbe Zechusa Yogan Aleinu had for tzedakah. One box of tzedakah was tzedakah that was given l'shma and was kesef kosher. That the Sanzer Rebbe said he gives to his yeshivas. To build Torah, money that's given l'shma and kesef kosher. Then there was another box that the Sanzer Rebbe decided that people had given money for kavod for other reasons, shalom l'shma, but was kesef kosher. That he used for orphans and widows. And there was a third box. A third box that the money wasn't kosher and the money wasn't given shalom l'shma. The Sanzer Rebbe took that money and he burnt it. And Rav Eichenstein looked to all the people there, mostly his students who are all Kollel fellows, and he said, we're raising only kesef kasher. There's some things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of the rest. And he's not doing any campaign that he has a chshash that somehow someone will give money will be somehow forced to give money or induced to give money that they don't want to give. No! Rak kesef kasher, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of the rest. There are still Gedolei Torah who that is their approach. When I was 20 years old, my father, I mentioned in the past, has a PhD in economics, and he worked for a bank for many, many years. And the bank folded. And my father needed to look for a new job. My father is quite smart, quite capable. He learns very fast. And he's been in finance for 30 years, so he decided he's going to become a stockbroker. Friday night, this first week, my father told us at the Shabbos table he's not going back on Sunday. Why? Because a fellow stockbroker who was sitting next to him hung up the phone and just turned to my father and said, I sold this lady a piece of garbage. A stock that was a piece of garbage. My father said, I can't be around people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of the rest. When it comes to Parnassa, when it comes to Gablus B'Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of the rest. Rav Shach, Zechusa Yogan Aleinu, when he was 80 years old, the doctor said that he needs to sleep more. And I've said to the Talmidim in the past that he told the Rebbetzin, the doctor told the Rebbetzin, that he's got to be in bed at 11 o'clock at night. The Rebbetzin woke up at 2 in the morning and Rav Shach wasn't in bed. She looked around. He had left the house. He had gone to learn in the Beis Medrash, which was right next door. So next night, Rav Shach decides that he's going to listen to his wife again. But he already knows, I'm going to go out to the Beis Medrash. But his wife outsmarted him. She locked the house from the outside. He couldn't get out. So, she wakes up in the middle of the night. Shach's stuck in the house. He's learning by the dining room table at 2 in the morning. Next night, the Rebbetzin decides, well, she's got to do something more. So, she locks the door from the outside. And she has one of the Talmidim turn off the electricity at the house at 12 o'clock at night. She wakes up 2 in the morning. Poor Rebbetzin, now all the electricity is out in the house. She turns over to see, you know, where her husband, maybe now he's in bed. No, the bed is empty. She begins to walk around the house with a candle, looking for her husband. The door is still locked. He's locked in the house somewhere. Finally, she goes into the laundry room. And by the boiler, you know, the Israeli boilers, there's an LED light that says that the boiler is on. A tiny light. Rav Shach is standing on a chair, leaning over by the boiler of the light, learning. Rabosai, if you don't compromise, you, in the year Tav Shin Pei, could develop that Avas HaTorah. Because just like Rav Shach didn't compromise as he was a child, you have the opportunity also not to compromise. And it manifests in three things. Number one is you decide. If you want to be a person that the Sanzer Rebbe elevates, and that is the only thing that I want to be connected to is Kesef Kasher. Whatever comes my way, I am going to be someone who's always going to be connected to MS, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of everything else. That's number one. Number two is that when it comes to my Ruchnius, there are certain things that I don't touch. There are certain things that I don't touch. At the end of the day, do I really need this type of phone or do I not need this type of phone? If I don't need this type of phone, even though the pressure and the zerem, all of the roll is going in one direction, I stand up and I say, as we spoke about in the past, Toda ani lo yachol. I spoke about the Israeli boy, when I gave him a smartphone, he couldn't touch it. Toda ani lo yachol. Not kanos, not screaming that everybody is treif and everybody is aser. No, Toda ani lo yachol. This is something that's not for me. And the third application is your amelus b'torah. I think what these couple of weeks taught you, taught me, I was inspired from you, is that at the end of the day, we have the possibility to excel, to thrive, to be masmidim in Torah, to be ma'amik b'Torah. And what all the world has said that it's not possible, we have shown ourselves that it is possible. But that requires us at times to say that even though there are other people out there who are compromising, I'm not going to compromise. It's a lot harder to read a Gemara without an art scroll. It's a lot harder to go and break your head over a Rebbe's shir. You could just read the footnotes and think that you learned bi'iyun. Or you could work hard and push yourself and realize that in our generation there are people who could have avas haTorah like Rav Shach did. Be'ezer Hashem, we should all be zochet to go maila and maila, and we should be zochet to see nisim. Nisim, if we are determined not to compromise our ideals. Have a great Shabbos.